Oh, we're continuing on in the Gospel of Luke, where we have been, and we come to the sending of the 70, and this is part of the Jesus commissioning people to go, and there's a reason behind all of that. God's desire and passion is for people to come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, and the Bible says, how can they hear in Romans chapter 10 unless there's somebody goes and tells them? We need people to tell the good news. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. And in order for people to know that good news, somebody's got to go and tell them. And what Jesus begins to do here is earlier we saw, and I think the previous chapter, where Jesus commissioned 12 people to go out and share the gospel. And you might think, okay, well, you know, that's the job of those apostles. That's the job for preachers to go out and share good news. But no, we can see here that Jesus also, it says, after these things, Luke 10:1, the Lord appointed 70 others also, 70 more to go out, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and a place where he himself was about to go. So the Lord Jesus knew that to effectively reach people, that one person in one place is not going to be able to do that. He knew that there needed to be more people involved. And so he started with the 12, but now we see 70. But even more than that, what does he say in Luke 10:2? He said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. So he says, therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So he wasn't just settling for 12, and he wasn't just settling for 70. He was looking for what?
More.
And I'll tell you what, he's looking for you. He's looking for you to spread good news. Now, if you had to go about and spread bad news all the time, that would be rather a depressing thing to have to do. But he looks for people to spread good news, the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, sometimes good news doesn't seem like it's good news to people who are hearing it because they've never heard it before, and it sounds strange to their ears. But good news is still good news. And it is, because this good news is that God has a way out of the mess that the human race has put themselves in. And if our eyes are opened at all, I mean, you can go along and people can say the world's getting better and better all the time. And you know, it isn't. It really isn't. There is a serious flaw in the human race. And when we say that, it's easy for us to say there's a serious flaw in those people over there. Or there's a serious flaw in my neighbor. Or there's a serious flaw. Let's start with ourselves. We have a flaw. We have a sinful nature. You know, if you don't have a sinful nature, well, if you don't think you have a sinful nature, you're a liar. Because you do. Or you're very self-deceived. Every one of us have a sinful nature, and it can pop up pretty quick. It can in all of us. We're all weak, and we all need help. And I've said this a lot of times, we need all the help we can get. So God is calling to the human race, and he has been calling down through the centuries, I've got good news for you. And the good news is that I can come into your heart and I can overpower sin in your life if you'll allow me to, and fill you with my love and fill you with the Spirit of God. I can take away the punishment for your sin, because for sure as anything, there'll be punishment for sin. We live in a world that says, no, we're not going to get, there's no accountability for anything. There are no consequences. I can do as I choose and I'm not going to face the consequences of it. When it comes to the spiritual world, it's amazing how many people have that philosophy. I can do whatever I want and it's not going to reap what I sow. But listen, isn't it a standard reality that we live in, that people reap what they sow? Isn't it? So if I sow corn, what am I going to get? Yeah. If I sow beets, what am I going to get? If I sow beets, I'm not going to get corn. Neither the other way around. We reap what we sow. That is truth, and that is reality that we live in the real world. And somehow, we don't even take the lessons we learn from the real world, and when it comes to spiritual truths, we throw all the reality away, and we come up with our fanciful ideas. God has told us that we'll reap what we sow. He said that the wages of sin is death. It is to be cut off from God. He's already said that. And we see the consequences of sin all around us. Wherever sin rears its ugly head, whether it's jealousy, envy, hatred, strife, there wouldn't be any wars if there wasn't any sin. There wouldn't be any hatred. There wouldn't be any jealousy. There wouldn't be any greed. All of these things wouldn't be there. But they are there, and they prevail often in the human heart because there's nothing to counteract the power of sin. Sin is a tough thing, boy. Selfishness. self-aggrandizement, pride, all the things that cause so much grief in our world. And yet, what often happens with most of us is that we tut-tut and shake our heads at all the sin that other people commit, but we have our own. Ours aren't as bad as theirs. And there we lose. And there God says, no, you need me too. You need this same gospel. You need this same Savior to come and save us. God gave the human race a choice in the beginning, and the human race made a wrong choice. And we've been pretty consistent at that down through the centuries, and we're still consistent in that direction. But individuals who turn to the Lord can have complete pardon and complete forgiveness for their sins and a new beginning and a way of trusting God where He begins to live through them. Now, do I know that there are many people who profess to be Christians and profess to follow Jesus Christ who are not living filled with love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and gentleness? Of course there are. But that doesn't take away from the truth. There'll always will be people who are off the beam, so to speak. There'll always will be people who are misinterpret or misrepresent God. But because some people will misrepresent God and misrepresent the gospel, it doesn't change the truth of the real gospel. And it is the real gospel that brings real change in people's lives. So the Lord Jesus knows all of this, and he says he sends out, he points 70 others to go also, and he sends them out with a message. And that message, we'll see what it is in a moment, but as he sends them into every city and place where he himself was about to go. This was a preparation ministry. This was preparing villages. This was introducing the coming of Jesus Christ to their villages ahead of time. And so he was sending them on ahead. Now, there's practical reasons for this, because we'll see a little bit later on, Jesus said, if they don't receive you, they're not going to receive me. And so if you were going to say, okay, I got to reach all this whole area with, and I want to spread the news to all these areas, I can't do it by myself, but I'll send people out, and if there's interest in this town, that's where I'm going to go. If there's no interest at all there, well, I'll go to where there's interest first. And then I'll go, I will get there, but I got to start with what the greatest interest is, because that's where the response is. And we do that. We want to reach people whose hearts are beginning to open, where there is some openness. That doesn't mean we don't go to hard people. We don't mean to go to hard places. But practically, it was a practical move to do this. So he sent these people out ahead, and he gives them specific instructions. Now remember, this was a specific task that he called them to do, but there are some principles that we can learn from what he said here. The first principle that we learn is that God is looking for laborers, and he still is. He's still looking for people. Now, that doesn't mean he's calling everybody to be in full-time ministry. It doesn't mean he's calling everybody to be exactly the same, doing what they're doing. It means that I ought to be a person, a Christian, who lives for God in my workplace and wherever I am, and looking for opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that God's calling you to be a laborer, not just me, but all of us together to be a laborer in his harvest. And the harvest here is far more precious than pumpkins or squash or whatever produce a person could put in the ground and harvest. The harvest here is the harvest of people being one to God, people being rescued from sin, people who are in bondage and slavery to drugs and alcohol, being set free and having a new beginning in their hearts and in their lives, people who are bound by pride. They may never take a drink. They may never be involved in drugs, but they're filled with pride and think that they're better than others. You know, you can despise people like that, or you can realize, oh, I've got a little bit of that in me. God, forgive me. And Lord, I want them to be free from that chain that drags them down of self-aggrandizement and self-importance. People that are in slavery to jealousy and hatred and envy. People who are broken because of abuse in their lives, whether it's verbal abuse. Some people have lived, children have grown up under terrible verbal abuse, being told they're worthless and et cetera, et cetera. All these kinds of oppressions that come because sin is in the world. People who have been abused physically and sexually and all the hurt and the pain and the sorrow of it. And the hands of Jesus can bring healing. I believe that with all my heart. They can bring more healing than anything else. And that's why people need the Lord. They need the Lord because they're broken. They're broken spiritually, broken emotionally. We're broken. And people need the Lord. And Jesus knew it, and he began to declare that, and he was going out into the fields. So after he sends them out, he says to them, this is what he says to them, go your way. I'm sending you as a lamb among wolves. What a picture that is. What he's telling them is that, listen, this isn't going to be easy. It's not going to be easy because there are people who are going to attack and people who are going to treat you badly. It's not going to be an easy road. I'm sending you. Can you picture a lamb going out among wolves? Can you picture what the outcome of that is? Slaughter. Slaughter, right? That's not a good picture. And let me tell you something. God is sending us out to be salt and light and love. Now, the picture of a lamb is not some aggressive person, is it? The picture of a lamb is not somebody who's, you know, going out and screaming at people. Is that what a picture of a lamb would be? It's a picture of a lamb is somebody who's gentle, somebody who's kind. A lamb gives you that a different picture than, you know, some aggressive person. But he's sending them. He's still sending us, even though. But the picture here is of gentleness and respect for others and going out, even when you're not getting it back, because you won't sometimes. Sometimes you'll get chewed to pieces. You'll get chewed for pieces for living in a right way. You get chewed to pieces for speaking the truth. You get chewed to pieces for just because you name the name of Jesus Christ. You'll get chewed to pieces. But he says, I'm sending you out anyway. So can I encourage you to be a lamb among wolves? The first thing is to understand that he's calling you to be a lamb. That's the first thing. To be the lamb. To be like the Lamb of God. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus didn't speak the truth, because he did. And he spoke very clearly the truth to the Pharisees, and he told them, you know, what their troubles, what their problems were. And the Bible tells me to speak the truth in love, so I will. I'll tell you the truth. And sometimes that's costly. You know, there's a scripture in the book of Proverbs that says this, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Think of that. But deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. And so I could be very nice to you and say nothing to you about, you know, your need or your condition and pat you on the back and you lose your soul. Or I can say, listen, sin is going to destroy you. You need to turn from it. So may God give his grace to be lambs in the world. We need more lambs. There's lots of wolves. And we've all been wolves at times, ripping and tearing, gossip, slander, ripping other people down, speaking ill of others. God calls us to be lambs. May we be the lambs that are out in the world, even at the cost of our lives. And in many places, people do pay with their lives to live and to walk with God in a world that is diametrically opposed. The world system is opposed to Christian principles. And they're shocked at them. They really are. You know, it's just simple things. I mean, just yesterday I was in a store and they had something for to give for to help with kids at Christmas time. And, you know, would you like to put give a little something to that? Yeah, sure. I said, I'll put this towards that. And they said, well, we'll get to put your name up on the wall. I said, I don't want my name on the wall. Why would I do that? Or if you buy a ticket for this here, and you might win this. I don't want to buy a ticket for something. You know what the Bible says? Give what? Really? Expecting nothing in return. That's a beautiful principle. And that's what I said. I said to her, I don't want any of that because, you know, the Word of God says, give expecting nothing in return. She was like, I never heard anything like that before. You don't want to, you know, but you could win. I said, I don't want that. I want to give. And if we want to, let's be lambs. Let's be radical. Let's live Christianity out. Where we're not always going, oh yeah, I'm going to support the cause. But really, I'm going to win something. I don't need to win something to support a cause. If it's worthwhile giving to, just give. Oh, if we could have those kinds of hearts. Even that's just a little example of living different than the way the world is. Everything's got to be, what can I get out of this before I invest in it? What's in it for me? That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is Jesus giving himself away to us, and it's us giving ourselves away to others. That's Christianity being lived out. And so go as lambs. Go your way. I'm sending you as lambs among wolves. And then he says even more radical stuff to them. He says, now carry neither money bag or knapsack or sandals and greet no one along the way. Now, this sounds a little strange, but remember that this was a general, I'm just going to take general principles because this was specific. They were on an urgent mission. That's what this tells me. This is urgent. And it's urgent in such a way as that I don't want you, you know, stopping and having all kinds of conversations on the way. You need to go, and you need to go now. You need to get to these villages as quickly as possible. So don't dally along the way, is what he's actually saying to them. Don't dally along the way. And furthermore, he's saying to them, trust me to provide for you. Trust me to look after you in this. Make sure that you're trusting me. Don't carry extra money. Don't carry the knapsack or extra sandals. Don't greet anybody on the way. Just go directly to these villages. And when you get there, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And what he's saying is, as you go, see if somebody's open. If they're not open, there's nothing you can do about that. If they are, then enter into that house. If they welcome you, then come with the gospel. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such as they give. Don't be fussy. Whatever they give you, take it. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Don't go from house to house. Now, what he's saying in this passage is, in this specific calling, as he was commissioning them to go to these villages ahead of time, this is not, okay, this is what we got to do when we go to a town. We have to do exactly all these things. No, but the general principle is that we ought to be have a determined heart. We're on a mission. When you rise up in the day, what's most important for your day? So if I can make a few more dollars, or if I can, you know, get all my meals cooked and get this done. Life can be full of all that stuff. But I want to encourage you that let your day be a passion about how can I be a blessing to others? How can I reach into the lives of others and pour a blessing? How can I introduce others to the love of God in Jesus Christ? Introduce them by my conduct and by my life and by what I have to say. How can I reach in? And how can I connect with people? And Jesus said this was a way of connecting by being in someone's house, by visiting people. Visiting's a lost art in our culture today. Everybody sits in front of their TVs and watches movies and plays with their video phone. People don't even visit each other, and they're in the same room. They all sit in front of their phones or their whatever, and they don't even look up. It's amazing. I had a friend of mine that did this little video clip of how people socialize today. And in the video clip, it was like there's like four or five young people at the beach, and they're all laying on the beach. And they're all got their phones in front of their faces the whole time, right? Or they're traveling in the car together, but they all got their phones in front of their face. They never communicate. Or if they communicate, it's like this. I wonder after a while if anybody's going to be able to talk by the time we're done. So yeah, let's be in one another's homes. Let's visit one another. Let's communicate with one another. And let's invite others into the picture. And this is what was happening here. He said, you go to a house, and if a house receives you, then you stay with them, and don't be fussy, but whatever they offer to you, don't be ashamed of that, because you're doing a ministry that I've called you to do. And they're being involved in it, and it's a blessing for them. And then you reach out into that community from that home. And that was the picture that was given here. And he said, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such as things are set before you. Heal the sick, Luke 10:9 there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom of God is at hand. So, do good deeds. Heal the sick. Reach out to people. You know, I don't believe that Christianity was meant for someone to stand on a platform and just preach at people. I don't believe that. I believe we need to be in people's homes, in people's hearts. We need to love people. We need to be ministering where there's brokenness. And that's the picture that's given here. Heal the sick. Do what you can for people. Now, that doesn't mean we're all doctors, or it doesn't mean we're all going to pray and people are going to be instantly healed. But in this case, God had gifted them with this ministry and with the power to heal. And some people do have that gift and praying for people and they're healed. And I praise the Lord for it. And at times I've seen God do that kind of miraculous thing. But there's a lot of other ways we can minister to people as well. In every way possible, look to help people. And that's the picture that's given here. That's a general principle to take here and say, Lord, how can I be a blessing to people? How can I love people? How can I minister to people in a good way? And so go out and do these kinds of things. And as you do them, you proclaim the kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He's the king in this kingdom. And that the kingdom of God is an open door. It's an open door into the kingdom of God, and anybody can enter into it. And of course, to enter the kingdom of God, John chapter 3 says, unless a person is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You have to enter into a love relationship with him. You have to enter into a relationship where he becomes king, where you step off your throne and you allow him to become the king in your life. He invites you to this. And he loves us so much that he wants us to experience this love of God. He wants us to experience the forgiveness of sins, but he wants us to share that good news with everyone else. So he challenges us, not just 12, not just 70, but you and I. So these two things are so vital together, you see, friends, that we walk and we talk. If we talk and don't walk, boy, we have nothing to say. And sometimes it's better for somebody to say nothing than to be living wrongly and trying to proclaim a message. It doesn't work very well. But as we go about doing good and loving people and reaching into people's hearts and lives, we go with the love of God and we go with the gospel message. And we must bring the gospel message as well. Doing the good deeds without the gospel will not help people in the long run, because you might help them for a day, but this is for eternity. There really is an eternity. And you'll see this in the next words that Jesus says, because he says, whatever city you enter and they don't receive you, go into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near you. This seems a little bit harsh, but it was something that the Jews understood. The Jews understood this because when a Jew would leave Israel and go out into Gentile country to do business, when they would come back and come back inside of Israel, they would take their shoes off, and they would lift their sandals, and they would shake the dust off their feet, because that was Gentile country, right? Huh? Well, yes, and they wanted to be clean, and the Gentiles were unclean, so they'd shake the dust off their feet. Now, that's not saying it was right or wrong, but that's what they would do. So Jesus was telling these guys, listen, if the people refuse the message, I want you to do this, but here's why. It says in the Gospel of Mark, it was for a testimony against them. It's so that they would understand. They said, nevertheless, know this. They still wanted them to know the truth. The kingdom of God is near you. You won't allow us into the town. You won't allow us into your home. You won't allow us to share the word of God. But we're letting you know that, look, you're creating, there's a dividing line here. There's a dividing line between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. You're choosing the kingdom of darkness. But I want you to know the kingdom of God is near to you. He's not saying, I don't want you. He's not saying, we're trying to get rid of you. He's saying, I want you to come across that line. I don't want you to stay in a place of rejection. I don't want you to miss the love of God. But definitely, there is a dividing line between righteousness and unrighteousness. And there will be a dividing line. Jesus said at the end of the world, when the day of judgment comes, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He said it. And he says that the sheep are going to go into everlasting life, and the others will go into everlasting punishment. He said it. And so there is a seriousness here that is being brought out to understand that if you reject the gospel, then you're going to be on the other side of that line. And you are going to miss what being with God forever. And this would be startling to Jewish people, because the Jewish people thought, we are number one. I mean, if anybody, you know, happens sometimes when they go to a basketball game, we're number one, right? Well, the Jews were saying for centuries, we're number one. Why? Because God chose Abraham, and God chose Isaac, and God chose Jacob, and there were our forefathers, and we're the ones that God gave the message to the world. And they were the ones who had that blessing that God gave the message to the world. But they wouldn't see beyond their noses to see that the world needed the same message. But they became exclusive and retreated inside of themselves. And here, the message was being given to them. Listen, you think you're number one, But you're going to miss heaven. You're going to miss the glory of God. You're going to end up with the dust shaken off your feet against you when you think you're shaking it off at the Gentiles. Now, I'm not saying this in particular to Jews today or anything. This was the context of where they were at that time. This was the problem that they were in. They thought that they were on the inside. And here Jesus is saying, if you don't accept me, the Son of God, the one who was prophesied all through the Old Testament, the one who was the Messiah that was promised to you, you're going to end up on the outside. You're going to end up on the wrong side of things, not on God's side. Solemn warnings for them, but important warnings. And so he says to them, I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for the city that rejects. Now, Sodom received a pretty solemn judgment, didn't they? Because of their wickedness, because of their immorality, because of their sin, they were judged. And they were judged, that city was destroyed. And so there was a very wicked city. Remember how wicked they were. And yet, Jesus is saying, listen, if you are going to reject the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, you're going to get a greater judgment than Sodom did. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. And he gives this woe here has to do with two cities where Jesus had ministered, and they still rejected his message. And what he's saying to them, Tyre and Sidon were Gentile cities. They were outside of Israel. But he said if they had gotten the miracles and gotten all that you had heard, they would have repented. But you refuse to repent and you've got all of this blessing, you're going to receive a greater judgment. Now here's the thing. What we discover in this passage, see, it'd be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. Now, Capernaum was a jewel city on the Sea of Galilee, and it was the city where Jesus actually spent the most time ministering. But he says, man, you think you're great? You're going to fall. You're going to fall. And eventually, physically, it did fall. When the Romans came and they actually destroyed Jerusalem 30-some years later, they also destroyed. They absolutely ravaged the cities around the Sea of Galilee, which were, these cities were well populated. It was called the garden all around there. It was beautiful. You go there now, it's a desolate place. And there were descriptions by the historian Josephus when they came, there were rotten bodies all over the shores as it was just absolutely destroyed by the Romans when they came in and conquered. So they did receive a physical judgment. But here it speaks about the day of judgment. And it speaks about the fact that there are degrees of punishment. Now, I believe there is a hell because the Bible says there is. You can say, well, I don't believe it. Well, tear that page out of your Bible, you know, and a lot of other ones. Because to tell you the truth, Jesus spoke of hell more than he did of heaven. Now, he doesn't speak about hell to scream at people and but to warn them, you don't have to go there. To warn them and to encourage them. God has a heaven for you. God must punish sin. He has to punish it. If he didn't have to punish sin, he wouldn't have punished his own son. But he did. He punished his own son on the cross for sin. And if you don't accept that gift, then you say, okay, I guess I'll take my own punishment. If you have to be punished for your sins, friends, you'll be lost forever. You'll be cut off from God forever, and it won't be pretty. But here's the thing. The greater knowledge that people have, the greater accountability they will receive. To whom much is given, much will be required. And Jesus is saying, these cities that have heard so much and rejected the message, they're going to receive a greater judgment than cities that didn't get as much, didn't hear as much, didn't see as much. They will receive less. So there's greater degrees of punishment in the afterlife. If you didn't know that, you know it now. But it's not based on what particular sin the person committed, but it's based on how much knowledge they had and the rejection of that. That's pretty interesting to think about. How that works out, that's in the hands of God, not me. But he's warning them. He's warning them that this is the very thing that people in Sodom who lived so wickedly and yet they didn't have as much light were going to get less judgment than people who lived Maybe they were religious, and a lot of them were. He's speaking to the people who were very religious. They went, you know, consistently to the synagogue and all these kinds of things. He says, you're going to get a greater judgment than they are. That was a shocker for them to hear that, because they thought, we're the cream of the crop here. We're on top of the heap here. He says, no, you're at the bottom. Yeah. So sometimes good news is not such good news to people, because first of all, they have to find out where you're really at. Remember, if I had a sore on my leg and that sore was all festered and in big trouble, and I said, I don't want to see that. I'll just cover that up and it'll go away. We know what would happen. Eventually, it would kill you. Instead, sometimes the sores have to be exposed, and then we can heal them. We can put the treatment and the ointments and whatever's needed on it and clean them up and fix them. Well, we've got sores. We've got sickness. We've got sin in our lives, and it needs to be dealt with. Soul sickness that needs to be ministered to. So let it be exposed and let God do something for it, and he will. Luke 10:16, whoever hears you, hears me, he said. He rejects you, rejects me. And he rejects me, rejects him who sent me. And so we can see Jesus is clearly saying, I'm sending you out as if it was me going. And if they reject the message that you bring to them, then they're rejecting me. If they accept it, then they're accepting me. And this is the warning that Jesus wants to leave with people so that they might realize. So listen, this leaves us in a place. We're accountable to go out and share the gospel with people. But we're not accountable for their answers. If they choose not to accept the message, you're not accountable for that. But you are accountable to share the good news. And the people who hear the message are accountable for hearing it. And they have to respond to it. And the choice that they respond to it will, in the end, decide their eternal destiny. So it's not unimportant stuff. And God sends us out into a broken world to rescue people. And this isn't like I'm going out there just to tell you that, you know, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. No, I'm going out there so that you might enter into a relationship with God. Because heaven is being in a right relationship with God. And if I'm in a right relationship with God here, it's going to profoundly affect everything that I do in my life. In a good way. In a very good way. So let me encourage you and myself to be humble before God, to understand, Lord, let me be one who hears the word of God and keeps it. Let me be one who's willing to be a lamb among wolves. Let me be one who's willing to be focused and trusting you for my provision. Let me be one, Lord, who is whose main focus is to love God, do as he calls, and to love others and to minister to them. To minister to them physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every way that I can, all the while sharing the good news of the gospel. Because I could befriend people and I can help people, but what I want to really do is introduce them to Jesus. I want to get out of the way and say, here's Jesus, get to know him. Because your relationship with me is fleeting, but your relationship with Jesus is meant to be so eternal and so incredible and so amazing. So I want to encourage you today to be accountable in this way, and to encourage others into this incredible relationship that Jesus invites us to by trusting in his Son, Jesus Christ. You got to come to Christ first yourself. And as you come in the kingdom of God, then you're inviting others in. We know never, never in my heart's desire would be for anyone to have the dust off their feet in the sense of hearing Jesus say, and here's what he said he will say. He will say this to people. Jesus will say it. On the great judgment, he says, Matthew chapter 7, depart from me, you worker of sin, I never knew you. Or he will say, enter into the joy of the Lord. What's he going to say to you? That depends on whether you trust Christ or whether you don't, whether you're in the kingdom or whether you're out. Everything else doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how many houses you build, doesn't matter how many homes you own, doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter. We're all going to breathe our last breath. We'll stand before the judgment of God Almighty. Let's be ready. Father, thank you for the word of God. And Lord, you know, sometimes we come to passages and they're exciting, and other passages may be a little more difficult, and sometimes they're hard to swallow. But Lord, we believe every word in the Bible, and that's why I preach through books, so that we don't miss stuff and we look at exactly what it has to say. And so today, Lord, we take to heart your call for us to be laborers in the field, to be, Lord, dedicated, to be willing, Lord, to lay aside other things that the gospel might be to the forefront. And we pray, Lord, that you will give open hearts and receptive hearts and homes here in Shettycamp and all around our island, that many people will turn from darkness to light and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ into their lives. Thank you again for the privilege of being together today. In Jesus' name, amen.